We are still in the season of Pentecost, right? June 4th is coming up, which is Pentecost Sunday. What happened Pentecost Sunday? Okay, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Perfect. So Jesus, the night before he was crucified, right? One of the things that he said in John, we're actually going to just read. So if you want to turn to John chapter 14, verse 16, a couple things I want to chat about tonight. John chapter 14, verse 16. I think Pastor Lynn's Bible probably has the book of John in here too. I don't have mine in here, but I'm sure it's going to work just fine. Okay, 14 verse 16. He said this, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live in you, and you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you in me, and that I am in you. So a couple of things I want to chat about tonight. There's a word in there. I've just been kind of studying over the past little bit, looking forward to Pentecost Sunday and the Holy Spirit and just celebrating the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm really trying, even in my own life. So last week I talked about how the Holy Spirit's present in our life, right? The Holy Spirit is here. And if we can recognize on a daily basis that the Holy Spirit is present. So I use the chair thing, you know. Do we recognize that the Holy Spirit of God is in the room with us? Do we recognize that the Holy Spirit of God is truly present in our life? Because I think if we did that, we would see things differently. But there's a word here that I just kind of did a little word study on, and it is the word parakletos. Parakletos, okay? So in the Greek, that is where Jesus here is saying, I'm going to leave you a helper, okay? I'm going to leave you. Another way of saying it, there's other areas of scriptures that use the same word. Helper or an encourager is another area, another way of saying it. The helper, the encourager, all different kinds of ways. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight is that word parakletos and what that means for us. So the Holy Spirit of God is with us, but that word parakletos means one who comes alongside, which totally goes even with what I talked about last week, right? One who comes alongside of us, one who is there with us on a regular basis, one who wants to live with us, one who wants to be there and help us. But one of the cool things that as I'm studying this out, and it just began to, even for me, just began to bring some cool revelation for my own life. The word parakletos, Paul uses multiple times in the Bible as well. And a couple spots that I want to show us here, he's writing to the church of Thessalonica. So that's in the book of what? Thessalonians. You guys got it. And he's talking about them and he's encouraging them. So one of the things that he's saying in chapter 4 is he starts to talk about Jesus is going to come back, right? So he begins to encourage them and he begins to say, here's some of what it's going to look like and some of the things that are going to happen, but Jesus is going to come back. So then the very last part of that chapter in chapter number 4, what does he say? He says, so encourage one another with these words. And as I began to study this out, it's kind of cool. And then there's another one in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another as you are doing this. That encourage one another is the exact same word of, I got to go back and see exactly how to say it, but parakletos. I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, so don't take that at all that I'm going to teach you Greek tonight. But I'm going to teach you one word, parakletos, okay? And so I just began to look at this and study this, and as I began to see that this word parakletos is used in multiple different areas here. But Paul begins to say, so in a way, this is my paraphrase, okay? Jesus says, I'm going to send you the parakletos. I'm going to send you the encourager, the helper, the one to come alongside you. But the thing that I want to encourage us in tonight is I want to say this, that we are also called to be parakletos. We are also called to come alongside people. We are also called to be encouragers. We are called to be comforters. We are called to be helpers. And one of the things that I just really, really even thought about tonight that I want to encourage you in, because I just really got the sense that there's some people that might need some encouragement in this room tonight, that might just be dealing with some stuff in life, that might be struggling in an area, that might just really need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that might need the comfort, the encouragement, the help, whatever word that you want to throw in there, those are all part of that same definition. And if that's you, one of the things that I just got the sense of tonight that I really felt that like the Holy Spirit of God wanted to tell us was this, that if you need encouragement, one of the best places to start, number one, is we can seek the Holy Spirit of God. But are we also fulfilling part of our purpose on this earth by also being an encourager to others? And I just really felt like the Spirit of God was saying that there might be some people that are really dealing with something in this room that might be having just an issue. They need encouragement and they're seeking encouragement out and they're just saying, hey, I need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged. And one of the things I want to encourage you in tonight, I'm going to say encourage a lot, okay? One of the things I want to encourage you in is, are you also being an encourager? Are you also being a helper? And I'll even put it this way, little p of Parakletos, okay? Or Parakletos, I think is actually how you say it. But again, I'm not the Greek scholar. So my question is this, are we encouraging others? Are we surrounding ourselves? Are we coming alongside people and encouraging others? And I began to think about one of the things that they say about teachers. How many teachers do we have in the room? Boom. Okay. Well, one of the things that they say about teachers, and I'm sure that you can help us out on this one, is that teachers learn more about the topic and the subject than any other person. Am I right? If they don't understand the topic, they're not going to be able to speak it very well. They're not going to be able to teach others about it. So I was thinking about this and this process that we have, or even just the principle that we have of if you want to get good at something, you do it first, right? If you're going to be a teacher, you know that stuff so well that you learn it more than the students will ever learn it. When it comes to being an encouragement to others, I just believe this, that there is a principle involved in it, that if you become an encourager, you will be encouraged. If you become a helper, I believe you will be helped. If you become a comforter, I believe that you'll be comforted as well. That there's a principle involved in that. So I want to just share a few things tonight along the lines of that. But how many of you know that one person can make a difference, right? We've seen tons of examples in that in life. But one example that I was thinking about the other day, so my wife and I rented this movie called Hidden Figures. How many of you have seen the movie Hidden Figures? True story, great story, right? I don't know how many, but this group of African-American women that during the 60s, when there was still all kinds of junk going on when it came to that, and they had to use a different bathroom than white people. And I mean, it was just all of this junk, right? But they worked for NASA. So we're talking this government entity, and these ladies were some of the smartest people on the face of the planet when it came to math. And I'm not even going to begin to talk about that because I'm like down here when it comes to math and they're like way over past the ceiling. So when it comes to math, they just were so brilliant. They were called the computers. So it was this group of computers. And so I won't go on and tell you the whole story if you want to watch it, because it really is a good movie. But the point behind it was this, that there was this one time where the one girl, she had to go like a half a mile away anytime that she had to go to the bathroom. Because the only bathroom in the entire facility that she was allowed to use was all the way across this campus, whether if it was raining or whatever, she had to go there. So her boss, who was Kevin Costner, right? I suck with names, but there you go, Kevin Costner. He's a good one. He gets mad at her one time because she's not at her desk, doesn't know where she is. She's gone 20 minutes out of the day and, you know, off doing whatever in his mind, thinking that she's just lollygagging around. And come to find out, she's got to go 20 minutes away every single time for her to ever go and use the bathroom. Can you imagine that? I just can't even imagine that. And so he gets madder and finds out the only bathroom that she can use is all the way around. So this one guy goes to I love this. I love the picture of this. He goes and he knocks down. He's got this baseball bat and he's knocking down this sign that says whites only. And it was from that that there was this change throughout the entire group. And he basically said, everyone's going to use the same bathroom. Doesn't matter what bathroom it is, everyone's going to use the same bathroom. Kind of makes sense, right? We live in a society today that just makes sense. But one man made the difference along those things. And one woman in those scenarios, so they showed that these three women, if it wasn't for them, we probably would not have ever made it to space. All because of these three women. So great story. I just say that to say this. How many different stories can you think of where one individual can make a difference. I even say this, I've heard of story after story of different people who are just going through tough stuff in their life. And I remember one story of a high school student that was, she was going to go home and she was going to commit suicide and her life was worthless and she just felt awful about everything. And one boy acknowledged her, asked her how her day was going, and it changed her entire life. Changed the entire direction of her life because someone decided to step out of the box, didn't know who she was, decided to go to her and encourage her and ask her how her day is. So I just ask us this as the body of Christ. Are we doing our part of being encouragers? And I began to even ask myself the question. So we live in this society where everything's going a million miles an hour. Everything is going in all these different directions. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, the world revolves around us, right? In my own eyes, I'll even say it this way, and this is stuff I've got to work on, but the world revolves around Rob in a lot of ways for me, right? So you put that in your own life, the world revolves around you, right? And I ask the question in my own life, am I on purpose helping others? Am I on purpose putting myself in a place to where I can be an encourager? And I just believe that that the Spirit of God did not come just to be our helper. The Spirit of God came to change the world, right? Jesus wants to see that everyone comes to him. Am I right? But we live as Christians in our own little box, in our own little world, and as long as we're getting help, as long as we're being encouraged, life is dandy, right? But it should go beyond that. If we can live in such a way that we can reach out and help someone else, I believe that begins to change even our purpose. What are we here for? What's the purpose of why we do what we do? I believe it's because God wants to use us to reveal him. So if the Spirit of God, and I'm just thinking about this throughout the week, that when it comes to Pentecost Sunday, we come and we're going to celebrate and we're going to rejoice. We're going to be excited. We're going to, you know, celebrate the Spirit of God. But if the Spirit of God doesn't go beyond us, what was the point? What was the point of all of it? And I always think of this example that, man, you might just be in such a great spot of life and you're just getting poured into and you're being encouraged and there's all this great stuff that's going on the inside of you, right? Pastor Lynn uses the example all the time that every single swamp doesn't start out a swamp, right? What is it? A swamp is simply stuff going in, stuff going in. There's water flowing in, but there's no outlet for it. And I ask you in your life, is it possible that encouragement might not be coming because there's simply help coming in, encouragement coming in, comfort coming in, God coming in, doing things in your life, but there isn't an outlet in your life? I'm not saying that the answer is always yes to that, but I would ask the question in your life, is it possible that you need an outlet to be able to help others? And that's something that God actually created and put on the inside of you as something, as a necessity for you to be able to help, to encourage, and to love others, because that's one of the things that we're called to do. Amen? Just something I want you to just think a little bit about. So I even say this, some people are natural encouragers, right? Some people, when it comes to encouragement, man, you just walk into the room and you just feel loved because they're there, right? I would love to be that guy. Hopefully I can be that guy someday, right? But you just feel loved because they're in the room and because they make you feel great. Others, well, we got to work at it, right? But one of the things that I think we can do is we can very easily just use it as an excuse that that's who I am. I'm just kind of that critical guy. I'm just that guy who sees things that way. So that's how life's going to be. But I want to encourage you in this, that if we're called to be encouragers, which I believe we are, that means we can do it, right? We're not going to be asked to do something by God that we can't do. So here's one of the things that I just want to talk a little bit practically tonight when it comes to some of this stuff. So it's not your personality, right? So what does that mean? When something isn't something that you do just and it flows out of you, what do we have to do? We have to practice. We have to be intentional about it. We have to do it on purpose, because if there's something that's just not natural, you got to work at it, right? So life isn't always filled with things that are just easy and natural. Am I right? So sometimes we look at things, and if it's not easy, if it's not natural, then, well, it just must not be for me. I want to tell you this, when it comes to encouragement, every single person in this room is an encourager or should be an encourager, right? We are all called to be what? Ministers of reconciliation. So when it comes to that, being ministers of reconciliation, we are called to bring people together. We're called to reconcile. We're called to be a part of the job of what the Holy Spirit of God does. And you guys know, so we've used this example before when it comes to other things, but I'll just use it in this example. Hopefully this comes out right, because this is just on the spot or whatever. But so we cry out to God, God help me, God help me, God help me, God help me. And we've used this story before, and it's just kind of a cute little story. But so you're up on top of this roof, and there's a flood coming, right? And there's the water's up to the top of the roof, and you're stuck there, and you start praying, God help me, send me help, I need your help. And this boat comes along, and the guy's like, come on, jump in, I want to help you out. And you're like, no, I already prayed, God's going to help me, right? And the guy's like, all right, whatever, weirdo. And he drives off, and this helicopter comes and drops a rope down to you and says, hey, come on, jump on in, I'm going to help you get out of here. And you respond with, no, God, that's okay. Or no, dude, that's okay. He's not God, by the way, it's a helicopter. No, dude, that's okay, I already prayed and God's going to help me. Right? Those are goofy scenarios. What's the point behind that? The point is that God uses people. And I truly believe that even in our life, when it comes to encouragement, that God wants to use you as the body of Christ to encourage someone. What does that take, though? It's going to take us getting past our own little world and our own little bubble and opening up and recognizing that people are around us. I know that sounds so simple, but just think about it in our own life. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about this even this week. Yeah, Costco is one of those things for me. Sometimes I like Costco because they've got really good little snacks that you can go eat and free samples and stuff like that. Other reasons, I can't stand Costco because there's just people everywhere. Back to back, you can't hardly even move in the stinking place, right? Because there's just people everywhere. So my attitude, I've got this impatience sometimes when I, part of my personality, and again, I can blame it on my personality or I can grow, right? Part of my personality is I go into a store, I go to what I want, I get it, I put it in my cart, I go to the checkout and I leave, right? Anyone else with me on that? There's others that are in here that might just be shoppers and they're just there to see everything else that's around. But I'm going to go do what I need to do. I'm going to get done and I'm going to get out of the store. So for me, one of the things that I have to work on when it comes to being an encourager, if I can say it that way, is I have to open up my eyes and I've got to change that part of me. Because you walk into Costco, I get that this is an exaggeration, so you don't have to come tell me this later on. But there's 5,000 people every time you walk into Costco. And they're in your way from accomplishing what you want to do, right? Am I right? Okay, well, I'm the impatient guy who's talking here, but just bear with me. In your own life, what does that look like? When it comes to people around us, right? And I think about the scripture. So there's a scripture that Jesus, he just gets done preaching the Sermon on the Mount and he looks out and there's all these people. And what does it say? He was moved with compassion. I have to ask myself the question, when I see a multitude of people, am I moved with compassion? Or do I get frustrated because they're in my way? Do I get frustrated because they're in the way of me accomplishing what I need to do? Right? What does that look like in our own life? I have got to begin to change the way that I see things. I've got to begin to change the way that I see even life for me. God, yes. So in America, lots of times we think this way. Okay, we think that the world really does revolve around us, that every law is for me because I've got the right to do it, right? That's the way that we kind of think. We just grow up in this sense that life is for me, right? It's for me to accomplish things. It's for me to get things done. And I'm going to work my tail off and I'm going to get it done. There's some good principles to that. But if we live in that mentality, that it's for me, everything is about me, we miss the entire purpose of what this is all about. The body of Christ. So one of the little tags that we have for our new team life, our small groups that we're going to be doing, is that it's life is better together, right? Better together. Everything's better together. But if I seem to think, lots of times in leadership, when it comes to business, one of the things that we see a lot is that, okay, so delegation is really good. Why is delegation good? Because you can get a lot done. But really what happens in a person, in a leader's life, is they begin to delegate the things that they don't like. They begin to push off stuff to others just because that's what delegation is all about. It's about getting things done. But true leadership that I think does a good job is when a leader is able to say, all right, what is your vision? What has God called you to do? What giftings have been put on the inside of you? And what giftings have been put on the inside of me? And then how can we together as a team accomplish something? If we just begin to say, all right, so here's my vision, jump on board, run with me, or get off the train kind of a thing, how much are we going to accomplish? We might be able to accomplish quite a bit. You might be able to do some things in life. But when we can come together as the body of Christ, and when we can move in the same direction because we've all got our giftings, we've all got our talents, and we're moving together to help people, we've got to change our thinking, right? It's not about me. It's not about you. Can I say it that way? I think we really have to think that way. It's not about us as individuals. It's about what, God, do you want to do? How do you want to use me? So I really just want to work on when I go into Costco, and I'm telling you, it's going to take some work. But when I go into Costco, opening my eyes and recognizing that there's other people around and not getting frustrated that there's other people around, but honestly being motivated and moved with compassion that there's people who need help. Am I doing a good job at being the Parakletos? Parakletos, I actually think is the way to say it. Am I doing a good job at being the one who comes alongside people and encourages and helps them, right? So Pastor Lynn used the example of Barnabas. Barnabas is what? What does his name mean? Y'all remember? Son of encouragement. And I love this, and it just hit me between the eyes like a brick, okay? If we were to give you a name as individuals, because it's your personality, because that's how we know you, would you be called Barnabas? Would you be considered the son of encouragement? Makes me really, really think about myself. Like, would I be called Critical Rob, who always sees the negative in life? Or would I be called the guy who tries to motivate and help and love on people, right? What would be the word, the verbiage that would be used for you? And I think it's really important that we think that way. And if we're not that person, what's it going to take? It's going to take us intentionally, on purpose, trying to grow, trying to change, right? So, question that I have for us is, am I walking alongside someone? Am I helping someone? Okay, I'll just ask that question right off the bat, someone. Sometimes I think we can think when it comes to changing the world that we have to go and we have to hold these 100,000 person crusades in order to change the world. I don't believe that. I think when it comes to changing the world, God has asked you to do your part. What is your part? What's your part look like? Are there people around you who need help? Are there people around you who need to be encouraged? God's not going to call you to go to North Korea and to do something there, probably, right? If you don't have influence there. If you don't have the ability to help people there, you don't even know how to speak the language, what good are you going to do, right? God has called you to influence your world. God has called you to encourage your world. But what that's going to take is that's going to take me opening my eyes and recognizing the people that are around me. Am I doing a good job at coming alongside people, or am I just expecting people to come alongside me? Big question to ask. Two differences, right? It's kind of like the question of go into all the world and preach the gospel. What does most of the time the church world do? We're going to put on a really good service and hope they come to us, right? Why is that? Because we're stuck in this mindset that says it's about me and the world revolves around me, and eventually people will like me enough that they come to me. It's not what it's about. The point is go, right? The point is, are we going into other people's lives? It's the friendship thing that Pastor Lynn talked about when it came to the selfie, right? Are we being friendly? Are we going to other people? Are we intentionally, on purpose, putting ourselves in a spot where we can be helpful, where we can be encouragers, where we can come alongside people in our life? And that really does take an on purpose doing that, right? Am I seeking to help others? 1 Corinthians 14:1, you want to know like what it says right off the bat? So it just talks about the love chapter in chapter 13. And then right after that, the very first word says to pursue love. What does pursue mean? That's chase after. That's run after. That's intentional, right? Are we intentionally pursuing to love people? Are we intentionally pursuing others? I think of a guy who is pursuing a woman, right? What does he do? He sends her flowers. He texts her. He calls her. He is after her. He's going to do whatever it takes to get that woman, right? Right? So in our life, are we being that intentional about it? Are we pursuing helping and loving others? Amen? So again, I ask the question, if you need encouragement, maybe not as much of a question as it just is a statement. I just really feel like this is something for someone tonight. If you need encouragement, who are you encouraging? Sometimes I think the Spirit of God wants to bring encouragement to you in ways that just doesn't make sense to you. You think, well, I'm the one sitting here needing encouragement. I think sometimes the Spirit of God wants to use encouragement to have an outlet in your life to bring encouragement for you. Are we just a swamp that's just trying to soak in and gain and get more and more and more? Because if that's the case, what's going to end up happening is our water's going to be very, very milky, right? And what we've got to do is we've got to open up our stream to flow out and to help and love on others. I saw this story a while back, but I don't know how to pronounce her name, so I'm not even going to try. Here we go. Jean Nightch. Anyway, she founded Weight Watchers. She was the founder for Weight Watchers. So she was overweight, and one of the things that happened was she just was done with it, so she went to a doctor and she said, all right, I need you to help me out. What do I need to do? And the doctor basically said, well, you got to go on a diet. And here's the diet that I would prescribe for you. Here's what you got to do. So she did it for 6 months, and she weighed quite a bit. At the end of that 6 months, she still had 50 pounds to go towards her goal. And so in that 50 pounds, she started to get discouraged, like, oh my gosh, I still have 50 pounds to go, and it's been 6 months. This is just dreary. And she needed some encouragement. And someone encouraged her in this, and they told her, what you need to do, because you've lost a lot of weight already, right? You can get so focused on what you haven't lost. So what you should do is you should bring others alongside you, and you should start helping them. You should start encouraging them. And what she did is she invited a bunch of her overweight friends to her house, and she started sharing. I know, right? That might sound really goofy, but that's exactly what she did. So she invited the friends who needed the help, if you can say it that way, to her house, right? And she began to encourage them. She began to show them and share with them the encouragement of what's happened in her life. And what ended up happening is she lost the rest of the weight that she wanted to lose. Out of that, Weight Watchers, which is multi-million dollar, maybe even $1 billion deal at this point, right? Happens in multiple countries. I want to say last I saw, there's 24 countries on the face of the planet now have Weight Watchers. Every week, there's 28,000 home groups that get together and talk about losing weight. One person thought through that. And so this little thing, they said, what ended up helping you to take control in this one interview that she was involved in? And this is one of the parts that I just thought was so cool. And she said, to answer that, she tells the story that when she was a teenager, she used to cross a park where she would see all these mothers hanging out and gossiping and doing their thing, and all these kids would be sitting on swings that weren't moving. So she would go and begin to push these kids on these swings. And she said after a while, what she began to recognize that when she would begin to push the kids on swings, it would begin to show these kids, honestly, how to do it themselves. So she would say that it wouldn't take very long, that she would start to push them, and after a while, these kids would get the hang of it, and they'd begin to know how to push the swing themselves. So her statement was, I'd give them a push, and you know what happened when you'd push on a swing, pretty soon, the kids would be pumping it on themselves and doing it themselves. That was her role in life when it came to helping others, that she would just give them a push. And I love that story. So for us, sometimes we make life really difficult. We think, if I want to help someone, I'm going to have to devote all this time. I'm going to have to devote all these resources. I'm going to have to devote all of this stuff. But I just think about it from that example for us. Could it be as simple as maybe helping just give someone a push? And I'm not saying push them off the edge. I'm saying literally as simple as, could it be as simple as coming and just walking alongside someone who needs help? Do we have to make it so difficult, right? So for us, the example for me again of Costco, I want to get better at recognizing when someone needs help. So I'm really on purpose trying. If I see someone who needs some help getting something off of a shelf, is that difficult? Is that a big deal? I might be able to even walk by and say, oh, they'll figure it out eventually, right? I mean, honestly, that's probably more my personality. I'm going to my thing. I'm going to get my thing done. It's not that big of a deal. They'll get it down eventually. But could it be possible that God wants to use you to plant the seed of encouragement in someone's life? And it could it be possible that the body of Christ gets flack because we're not that way? Because we're so driven and we run after our own goals and we're doing our own things. And I just truly think that sometimes if we could step out of ourselves and say, all right, if I can just take the step to encourage someone, to love someone, what does that do? That begins to what? Paint the picture that the church, we're encouragers. The goofy example, but how many of you are good tippers? Don't raise your hand. I think sometimes we get some bad flack in the body of Christ. You know, what's the biggest day that people go out to eat? Sunday, well, maybe Fridays. I don't really know the answer to that. But I'm going to guess that a big part of it, right, is Sunday right after church. And who are those people? Those are the church people, right? And what I have heard by far is that church people are the worst tippers on the face of the planet. People absolutely cannot stand church people when it comes to going out to eat. Guys, we got to stop that. We got to get better at that, right? Got to be good tippers. Why is that? Because, so if you go back to the chapter that we read right off the bat, the Holy Spirit of God, what was the purpose of that? If you go back and you read that in John, what's the purpose of the Spirit of God living in us? That the world could see him through the way we live. So if we want to be, and I believe that's why even Paul told us to encourage one another, to help one another, to comfort one another. Why is that? Because God wants to use you to reveal Christ. God wants to use you to reveal the Holy Spirit. So as we approach the season of Pentecost, we're in the season of Pentecost, and we approach that day, let's make it less about us. And God, how can you use me? How would you want me to be an encourager? And I'm telling you guys, again, for you, if you just need encouragement in your life, it might be tough. It might be a hard thing for you to step outside your box and to help someone else. But I am just going to throw it out to you. And this is, you can use it as a test or however you want to say it. I truly believe that you being an encouragement to someone else is going to bring encouragement for your life. It's going to help you. If you need comfort, come alongside someone and comfort them. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to learn how to comfort. You're going to learn just like the teacher, right? Who is going through the process of learning the stuff. You're going to know encouragement because you're helping others. Hey man, let's be parakletos. I think that's the way to say it. I've said it like 5 different times, but we're going to stick with that one. Let's be parakletos. Let's be the one who comes alongside people. Let's be the encourager. Let's be the comforter. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father,